There's an infinite number of monkeys out here who once thought was about to strip for Hamlet, they work out.
Welcome, listener, to another deep dive. Today, we're getting into a really insightful book. It's called Understanding ADHD, mm-hmm. written by Lee Hopkins, who's an Australian counseling psychologist. And what's quite powerful is that he actually received his own ADHD diagnosis late in life. So it's, you know, a very personal perspective, too.
That's right. And it's fascinating because Hopkins really pushes back against the sort of traditional idea, the idea that ADHD is just, you know, autism plus ADHD stacked together. He argues it's actually its own distinct neurodevelopmental profile.
Right. Not just A plus B.
Exactly. And there's research that backs this up, showing quite a significant co-occurrence. I think one big meta-analysis found something like maybe 38-39% of autistic individuals also meet the criteria for ADHD. It suggests something more integrated is going on.
Integrated. And even though the author is Australian, you know, referencing local healthcare, maybe some cultural points, the core experiences he talks about, the sensory stuff, the executive function challenges, these feel pretty universal, don't they?
Absolutely. From Sydney to Stockholm, like you said, the fundamental human neurological experience, that resonates everywhere.
Okay, so let's unpack this a bit more. The book really excels at showing how ADHD isn't just two lists of traits side by side. It creates these unique patterns, right? Strength and challenges in daily life.
Exactly. It moves past that simple addition model. Take executive function, for instance. The book gives examples, like someone who can have this incredibly intense hyperfocus on a special interest. Maybe coding or deep research.
Right, laser focus.
Total laser focus. But that same person might find it almost impossible to initiate tasks they don't find interesting or manage routine things like remembering appointments, planning meals, even just getting through a grocery shop without feeling overwhelmed. That contrast is key.
That contrast, yeah. And Hopkins also talks quite a bit about paradoxical sensory processing.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting. What does he mean by paradoxical there? Like sensitivities being both a superpower and a kryptonite.
Precisely. He describes it as living in a kind of high definition world. So imagine a graphic designer, maybe, whose sensitivity to visual detail is a huge asset. That's the superpower.
Okay.
But then that same heightened sensitivity can make a noisy, bright, crowded shopping mall feel like, well, he uses the phrase sensory torture.
Wow. So it cuts both ways. Intensely.
Very intensely. And understanding that isn't just about spotting a difficulty. It's about seeing this source of unique ability and vulnerability. It really pushes for designing environments that, you know, support the strengths and minimize the overload.
Which must take so much energy, navigating a world often not built for that kind of sensory profile. And that brings us to masking, right? The book digs into this.
Oh, yeah, deeply. Masking is basically the effort ADHD individuals put into appearing neurotypical, trying to fit in socially, suppress natural behaviors or stims, maybe force eye contact when it feels unnatural.
That sounds exhausting just thinking about it.
It is exhausting. Hopkins highlights the immense energy cost. You come home after hours of this performance completely drained, and it can lead to this disconnect from your real self, plus misunderstandings with people who don't see the effort involved. Burnout is a real risk.
I can see that. And this constant effort, the sensory stuff, it must impact emotions too. The book uses the term emotional turbulence for emotional regulation. What's the ADHD angle on that?
Well, it suggests emotions can feel significantly more intense for someone with ADHD, like a sudden storm rolling in. And shifting out of that emotional state can be much harder, take longer.
Like getting stuck in an emotion.
Sort of, yeah. And it's often compounded by difficulties actually identifying or naming the emotion you're feeling. That's alexithymia. So you have this strong internal state, but maybe not the words or understanding to process what it is, which just makes it feel more chaotic.
Right, okay. So we have these complex patterns. Executive function paradoxes, sensory highs and lows, the drain of masking, this emotional turbulence. What does Hopkins suggest people do with this understanding? What are the practical steps?
Well, a really powerful message in the book is about neurological self-awareness, really understanding your own brain, and then using that awareness to design your life with your ADHD brain, not against it.
Working with it, not fighting it.
Exactly. It's about self-compassion, building routines and environments that actually support how you function best. Things like maybe scheduling downtime after intense social events, using visual timers, breaking big tasks into tiny steps, finding what works for you.
It sounds like it's ultimately about embracing neurodiversity then, moving beyond just labels.
Absolutely. It's a shift away from rigid categories towards appreciating the huge range of human cognitive difference, seeing the whole person.
Nope.
And the book really offers this message of, I think, hope and empowerment, guiding people from maybe fighting their own neurology towards understanding it, leveraging their strengths, and building a more authentic life.
A roadmap almost.
Yeah, a roadmap for self-discovery and living more consciously with ADHD.
So thinking about all this, it leaves us with a pretty big question for you, our listener. If we really took this idea seriously, valuing neurological diversity, as the book suggests, what incredible contributions, what unique perspectives might people bring to our workplaces, our communities, if we actually designed systems that recognized and supported that diversity? Something to think about.